This morning, I'm going to talk about theology. And you know what, when you're in school or at TAFE or university, normally when you've got, you study a topic. Thanks, Brad. Good job. Normally when you're at TAFE, university, school, and you study a subject or a topic, you reference lots of other material. You have to read certain books and go and read this article and read this so that you can have a better understanding of your subject. And if you can't do that, you'll probably not pass it. You know, you'll probably fail. So we have to do the same in our Christian walk. I mean, we've got a topic. We've got lots of topics, actually, in the Christian faith. And it's important to study. So I just brought some of my books with me this morning. I'll go through them a little bit later, but that's a Bible dictionary. I probably read that more than the Bible. John Stott, The Cross of Christ, very good. Lovely study Bible that I got from Mark. And a theology book, it's lovely. And you know what, I think God's heart is for us to put the same effort in as we would study, let's say, for example, a topic that you do at uni. I mean, you'll have lots more than that at uni, to be honest, if you study a topic. And in the Christian faith, we've got many topics that we have to have a clear understanding about. You know, sin, salvation, God, Jesus, man, all those things. And if we don't have a clear understanding of those things, your Christian life will always be tough and hard and a bit of a schlep, you know. It will be boring. So it's very important that we study the things that we believe. And that's basically what theology is. So just to give you my definition, or in general, but I add a little bit. The study of the nature of God and religious beliefs, those things that Christians teach, affirm, and hold to be true. We are all theologians because we all need to study the nature and things of God. And I think there's such a misconception in the church that, you know, it's only the guy who's preaching or the guy who's leading the church that needs to study. But that is completely wrong. It is completely wrong. We all need to study. We all need to study and get to know this faith and the things that we believe. And, you know, theology is normally, when people talk about theology and doctrine, normally 80% of the people fall asleep. But that is where everyone's making the mistake. Because if you don't understand these things, your life is just not going to work out. Things will not work out. So it's vitally important, and it's vitally important that you study theology, that you study the things of God. If there's, from now on you can actually fall asleep, but if you remember that, Andre's preach on the 3rd of February was about studying theology because it's vitally important. And the way we do church, I mean, we don't just come up with a few ideas of how we want to do church. It's not like that. And some people might walk in and say, this doesn't look like a church at all. There's no colored glass windows. There's no pews here. We all wear normal clothes. This is not a church. So, yeah, these guys are quite relaxed, you know. They just do whatever they want. But actually, it's not the case. So what we do is we look at the New Testament because there are many examples of what church looks like in the New Testament. And we try as closely as possible follow what the guys did in the New Testament. So I'll give you an example. Acts 2:42 says this, and I think we all know the scripture. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And that carries on. You know, they sold stuff. They helped each other. They were generous. The Lord added to their number. They had favor. But I want to focus on this first sentence. And he says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Amen. Yes. We can also say they devoted themselves to theology and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. I mean, at that stage, there wasn't a word theology. We know the word theology. But in the early church, in Acts, we see that when the church, the birth of the early church, they devoted themselves to theology. In the same way, we have to devote ourselves to theology. And, you know, normally when I study anything, I ask, why? Why is it? You know, if I don't know the why in all of life, everything that I do in work, in family, if I don't know why I do something, I'm very slack and I drag my feet. But if I know why, I'm on board. And the main thing about why we have to study, this is going to come out all the way through the preach, but the main thing is this. And we heard it last Sunday where Mark preached about covenant, the Garden of Eden with Eve and Adam. And the devil didn't approach Eve and say, God doesn't exist, there's no tree, or, you know, he didn't come with ridiculous things. He said, did God really say? And if we don't study theology, if we don't know what the Bible's view is or God's view on certain topics, the devil will come and say, did God really say? And that is where we need theology. So that when he comes with small, tiny little things that's going to skew the things that we believe, then we can know, oh, no, God did say, I know the truth. So it's very important, but I'll unpack a bit more as we carry on. So theology is concerned about truth, and there's many other things that impact that or can challenge that. But we have to, it needs to boil down to one area that we can say that is truth, in whatever topic we're covering in the Christian faith. If we don't have that, it's up for everyone to decide what they want to believe. And imagine that, you know, it will never work out. So the focus of that truth, I mean, the doctrine of the Christian faith covers lots of topics. Sin, God, Jesus, man, us, angels, demons, you know, a wide variety of things. But the main aim of theology or the main focus is God. That's what it is. And God's view of these things. And it's important to know that. It's like a spotlight showing on God the whole time as we talk about all these different things. So I want to talk about the role of theology, because you probably think, man, why do we need all these things? So just quickly, I want to cover two things. So the first one is clarification. And so very often we lack understanding in those various topics. So to give you an example, so let's say the doctrine of God, or God's holiness, salvation, and sin. So let me just cover that. So the thing about theology is they all link together. So if I don't understand the holiness of God, I wouldn't need a savior, and I know I won't need Jesus, because if I don't fully understand the holiness of God, I would bring God down to my level and compare God to me or an earthly standard. But if I understand, wow, that is how holy God is, that no one can approach him, and understand why I'm in trouble, and I understand the effect of sin and how serious it is, all of a sudden, I know there's no way out. There's no hope. And then I look to Jesus and I think, oh my goodness, he's offering salvation. And all of a sudden, this thing called salvation is beautiful. And I think, wow, Jesus, I'm so grateful. Without you, there's no hope. So all of a sudden, those things are all linked. But if we don't understand all those different areas, Jesus, who is he? He's just what? Son of God, and so what? What does it matter? So it's so important to have a good foundation of all those different aspects. Otherwise, we'll lose it. So the role of theology is to bring clarification. Let me just read this quickly. This was mind-blowing when I read this. Involvement in a church and community. So let's say cross-culture, church, and our community. Involvement in a church and community does not automatically guarantee full understanding of Christian doctrines and how it impacts you. Involvement in a church and community does not automatically guarantee full understanding of Christian doctrines and how it impacts you. And that is massive. When I read that, I thought, wow, that is huge. So, to give you an example, we would say, you know, to participate in church. We attend church on a Sunday, if it's a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, doesn't matter. You know, we attend church. Then in the midweek, we gather together and we meet in home groups. You know, we pray together, do some courses, read the Bible, do a little Bible study. You know, we do various things. Then once a month, we gather for a prayer meeting. We pray together. We might even come on a Sunday morning and pray together. And also, I mean, we read our Bible. But that is not enough. That is the absolute minimum. That's the absolute minimum. And I think, please, we don't want us to compare one another. But I think we've got this mindset of, man, I go to church every Sunday. You know, this is a lot. And then I go to home group, that's a lot. And then I go to prayer meetings, and I even read my Bible. But let me tell you this, that all the things that I've mentioned there, the bar is that high. It's a very, very low bar. That is the absolute minimum that you have to do. Otherwise, you're just going to, your Christian life will look like there's a growth. There will be no growth. You cannot rely on preaching 30 minutes on a Sunday to give you a clear understanding of all the doctrines and theology in Christian belief. It's impossible. You know, over 20 years, you might get glimpses of it all the way through, but your foundation needs to be solid, and that includes studying. So please don't believe the lie that if you make it to church and I read my Bible 5 minutes every day and I go to home group, that you're going to flourish and have fruitful Christian life. It's an absolute lie. It is an absolute lie. So, I've heard, not here, but in the past, I've heard many people that I meet that say, look, I've been a Christian since I can remember, or I've been a Christian, I've grew up in a Christian home, so I've always been a Christian. And I said, that's wonderful. Or I say, look, I've been a Christian for 20 or 30 years. And I say, wow, that's wonderful. You know, by this time, you must lead a church or something. And but then as soon as I started to chat to them, I realized that their beliefs are actually very shallow. And they don't have a clear understanding at all about Christian beliefs. And I think the trap that they fall into is that because I've done this for a long time, I must know a lot. Or I have a solid foundation. And it's an absolute, absolute lie. So just start with a minimum. I mean, those things is not going to do it for you. It's not going to pull you through. And the sad fact is that many Christians are very unclear about what they believe. So the second thing is theology bring correction. So I've got some good examples here. So theology address imbalance and errors. And that can come through a church, or it can come through individuals as well. But I just want to read something quickly out of my big book. And just to clarify something, all these books, please understand that I'm not saying that they are more important than the Bible. All these books highlight God and point to the Bible. But it's a brilliant tool to use. I'll just read a quick passage. And it says, and this is basically what I just said, unfortunately, participation in Christian faith and experience is no guarantee against heresy creeping in. Indeed, most heresies that have plagued the church have arisen not from opponents outside, but from misunderstandings in the inside. Sometimes this is due to overemphasis on a particular doctrine, thus blowing it out of proportion or its proper significance. Again, a heresy may begin as an honest mistake of a certain truth, but being held over a period of time, it becomes increasingly distorted. Or this is much more serious because of the constant effort of evil forces to seduce the Christian community away from the truth. False teachers embraced may tragically be doctrines of demons. So, yeah, that's quite interesting. But listen to this. This is in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. It says this. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. So theology, the role of theology, is where there's an error, is to bring us back to what is true. So I'll give you a quick example, and some of you might have heard me say this before, but we were part of a church that helped other small church that was meeting in a home. And one of the guys, young guys, came to the church, and he had a lot of opposition from his own family because this church was meeting in a home. And his parents basically accused him of he's now involved in a cult, and he must repent and come back to church. And I mean, the only reason we meet in buildings like this is because it's difficult to fit everyone in a home. Otherwise, we'll also meet in a home. And they didn't believe that you can have church outside of a church building, because this church building is consecrated and holy, and that is where you have church. And there's a church that follow that doctrine and believe that. I mean, the church leaders and everyone. You know, we look at it and think, my goodness, that's madness. It's real. It is very real. And that's exactly what I've just read. So over, it could be decades or centuries, someone came up with a teaching, took a scripture, twisted it, and said, this is what we believe as a church. And years and years later, people are doing the same thing, and they don't know even why they believe that. So this is the way doctrine comes in, to correct those things. The second thing that they told him is praying in tongues. I said, that is from the devil, and it's from demons. So he said, look, my parents say, you know, we're demon-possessed. The other thing they mentioned was breaking of bread, communion. You cannot have communion in your home. It needs to be in a church that's holy and consecrated. And they think, but Jesus said, whenever we eat, think about him, think of him, think what he did for us. So that's what holy. Every time I go and have breakfast or lunch, I have to go to church to go and eat there and thank him. But it's amazing. And these are all real examples that in real life. But it just shows you how the devil can bring in false truths, you know, that the church think it's true, but it's really not. So it's very sad. So I want to carry on with how to do theology. And we've all got different personalities. Some of us like to read. Some of us don't like to read. And we don't have to, everyone needs to be the same. I mean, we are all different. But I want to say this. There are certain rules or guidelines that we can follow to have a more fruitful experience when we study God's Word. And I'll just cover a couple of them. But just to give you a quick example. I don't spend hours and hours studying theology or Christian beliefs every day of the week. It is just impossible. I wish I could. That'd be nice. But the reality is, most mornings I pick my Bible up for 5 minutes, read a scripture. I pray during the day. I drive a lot, so that's my time that I'm praying, so that's good. But then, every now and then, doesn't matter if it's once a week or how many days, I need to sit down with a long stint and go through some other books and read up on topics and do a topical search and just go a bit deeper. Otherwise, I just don't get what I need. So firstly, how do we do this thing? And the number one thing that we cannot miss is to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I mean, whenever we get to the Bible with our rushed lifestyle, you know, we've got a million things that we have to think about. We have all the things of work. Then we have to remember all the bills we have to pay, all the big to-do list. And everything feels so rushed and busy. And we can get in a habit where we open our Bible in the mornings, that it's just another tick. Oh, fire, I must not forget my Bible. Yep, I must go. And off you go. And it's just like reading an article or reading a newspaper. So it's so important that when you get your Bible, is take time, put your phone away, Make sure that you plan that ahead. Make sure that you've got enough time. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, just quiet my heart. Quiet my thoughts. Just want to think about you at the moment. You know, just take time. So John 16:13 says this. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. John 14:26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. And just on that, the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I think we can fall in a trap where we think the Holy Spirit is just going to download automatically stuff in us. And that's also not going to happen. So as we dig into the Word and go deep and study topics, and you know, then the Holy Spirit's got something to work with, and He can remind us of those things. And that is so important. So the Holy Spirit is not going to automatically, by attending church, poof, you know, there you've got all the knowledge. Wonderful. It's brilliant. It doesn't work like that. So John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. And, you know, for a person who's not a Christian, that's quite a weird concept. Man, God is in me. That's a bit weird, you know. And unless we realize that we are spiritual beings as well. You know, demons are real. Angels are very real. Spirits are very real things. But we can't see them. And that's why we don't really think about it. But when we get saved, God puts His Spirit in us. God Himself puts a little bit of Himself in us. And that's amazing. And so when with that Holy Spirit in us, when we read things, He makes the Scriptures come alive. And as we study and study, He reminds us of that. So without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. It's just going to be like reading a newspaper or article. That is all wonderful, and that is all beautiful. But like I said, the Holy Spirit is not going to force Himself on you. You know, in the preeming morning, this Mark said, we all got a choice in how we worship, how we express our faith, our beliefs. And the same with us. The Holy Spirit is not going to grab you behind your neck and say, come on, you know, read this, study this. No, He's not going to do that. So please get this. And even if it's difficult, look, God is always looking at our intention of our heart. So He knows we are not perfect. And although I love studying God's Word, I'm not perfect. And sometimes I don't want to. But if I don't want to, I just say, God, I don't want to study now, but will You help me? And then He does, you know. He helps me. So that's how wonderful it is. When He asks, when we ask Him, He will help you. Listen to this. You must allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Invite Him to guide you. The Holy Spirit is the guide to understanding, but only when we're immersed in the Word. And like I say, just to have a quick 5 minute, let me just get it out of the way. It's not going to mean much. It's not going to mean much. And you know, when I became a Christian, the thing that overwhelmed me was, far out, where do I start? Because in the mornings, if you don't have a plan, you will get to the morning and think, where do I open this book? You know, what do I read? Where do I go? And the best thing for me is a topical study or a word study or a word search. And what that does is, so I would, for example, take a word, love or forgiveness or whatever it is, kindness. And I just do a word search. There's 150 that comes up. And I spend a week or two and I just go through all those scriptures. And you read from the Old Testament, poetry, Psalms, New Testament, letters to churches, everything. And at the end of the 2 weeks, wow, you really got a grip on this topic. And as I go deeper and deeper and I read more, and then I read something and it sounds different, we've got a reference to something else, I go there, you understand more. And all of a sudden, I can just feel the Holy Spirit say, yes, that's it. Yes, that's it. You might, you know, a year or two afterwards, the Holy Spirit will remind you in a situation, that's what you need to say. And that's how it works. So I love a topical search. So normally when I do a topical search, I would ask two questions. I would ask, if I must apply this in my life, what would my life look like? And what if I choose not to apply this in my life? What would my life look like? So I'll give you a quick example. So I just yesterday did a quick topical or word search. There's 75 scriptures that came up, but I've just got a few here. So I just took the word humble. And James 4:10 says this, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. 2 Samuel 22, you save the humble, but your eyes on the haughty to bring them low. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Psalm 25:9, He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Look at their guide. Psalm 147, the Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. The Lord sustains the humble. Psalm 149, for the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. Matthew 23, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Oh my goodness, how clear is that? So who doesn't want to be humble, you know? It's beautiful. You'll be guided. You'll be sustained. You will be lifted up, you know. That's the beautiful. So I normally find that to do a word study is the best way that I learn a certain topic. And do the same with sin. Do the same with holiness, sex, money. Everyone's awake. You know, gambling. I don't know, addictions. Whatever it is. But do a word search. Do a topical search. Get to know that topic well so that you know what God is saying about that. And then rely on Scripture. So we've got the Holy Spirit. If you don't read and study with the Holy Spirit, it's a bit dead. Secondly is rely on Scripture. Like I said, read the whole Bible. If you do a topical search, old history, law, poetry, Psalms, New Testament letters, you know, just go the whole way so you get a balanced view of what the Bible says about something. So 2 Timothy 3:16, we all know this, where it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's what we need to be. We need to be thoroughly equipped to live this life. Jesus said in John 8:31, He said to the people who believed in Him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So give you an example. So we walk with God, we live our lives, we've got a bad week, and we sin. Terrible. You know, we're awful to our kids, our spouse. We're full of anger and hatred, yell, we throw things. It is terrible. Now we come to church on a Sunday, and there's a prayer meeting, and I don't want to pray. Man, I feel freaking terrible. I was an idiot. I sinned so much this week. I'll just keep quiet, and I'll just take a step back. And that is where the devil's got you. Because you don't know the truth. Because God says, every day is a new day. Turn to Him. Ask for forgiveness. It's gone. Gone. And when you know the truth, you've got the boldness to step into His presence and say, wow, God, I surrender. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. But I know I'm a son. I know I can approach You. But if we don't know those things, you know, the devil will keep you there for weeks. I'm not good enough. I don't want to come to church. I feel guilty. That's exactly where the devil wants you to be. And he wants to keep you there. So it's so important to know the truth because it will set you free. Scripture warns us against private interpretations. Man, that is a huge one. That is a huge one. Right, listen to this. This is a big one. So the first thing that I said, remember that. And if you can forget anything else, listen to this. Truth, however, is severely jeopardized when lip service is paid to Scripture. Private interpretation will prevail, and Scripture is emptied of its true meaning. So let me explain quickly. So it's easy, and I think Mark's mentioned before, we can take the whole Bible, and we can say, do you agree with everything in there? And you say, yes, absolutely. And we can take different scriptures, and we can say, do you agree with the scripture? And we say, yes, we agree with all the scriptures. It's all true. But do we believe it? Do we put it into practice? That is what that means. So I'll give you a quick example. Years ago, we sat with someone. This person's been a Christian for 20 years, but going through a bit of a storm. And so as we started to ask questions, and because I wanted to get to where the foundation is, what this person actually believes. And after probably an hour and a half, it came out that this person is actually irritated with Jesus. And he said, when I read the New Testament and I see how Jesus speaks to people, it irritates me. He's rude. He's arrogant. And I thought it was joking at first, but I thought, what? And you grew up in a Christian home. You say you're a Christian for 20 years, and you say this. You're in big trouble. If you think that about Jesus, there's huge problems. But you know what? That's normal Christians. And if it wasn't for that hour and a half that we got to dig and get information out, I wouldn't have known that. Sadly, that person left and didn't want to deal with it. So what happens there? That person goes to a topic in the Bible. My life is not working out. What is wrong? And so they take one scripture, put their own interpretation on it, and that's what they believe. So I took the Bible to that person and I say, let's look at who Jesus is. It means nothing. It means nothing. The Bible, all the scripture about Jesus means nothing. And it was like, what? I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. But that's what happens. And you know, we're all amazed about that. And I was shocked. And this is what this sentence says. If we don't have a revelation about scripture and how to use it and believe it, it is meaningless. We will always default to what we wanted to believe, what we want to believe and get out of that. So that was a bit of a weird thing for me to see. So let me read this. There can be no true understanding of Scripture without the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there's a blindness in reading Scripture. And the Holy Spirit brings understanding and clarity. The next thing I want to talk about in terms of theology is when we study, we need to be aware of the culture of the day and what's happening. So a good example is, just as I said before, the busyness of life. So we are constantly bombarded by information, adverts. There will be, even if you're on, you can even do a Bible study and there will be adverts popping up. Things wanting your attention, emails about special offers, things you can't miss. It's going to make your life beautiful. This holiday is going to be brilliant. You can loan money at a low interest rate. Buy now, it's the time. Buy this new car. Get the new phone. Yeah, it just carries on and on and on, and it is just exhausting and tiring. So we live in this fast-paced world with a lot of information, and we're constantly busy. It is so difficult to shut that down. It is very difficult. I don't know what your experience is, but just to put your phone off is like brilliant. So it's so important to understand that, because that thing will rob us. If we want to be serious about studying theology, studying the things of God, it's not going to come in 5 minutes. That's for sure. It's not going to come just by reading your Bible. All of this points to the Bible, don't get me wrong. But we have to use other resources to bring clarity, to explain things, so that we understand the Bible better, so that we have a better relationship with God, understand the time that we're living in. So it is so important to make time in the busy time that we live. You know, set time aside. For me, I cannot seriously do a Bible study with a TV on. I cannot sit where I need to be alone. I can't even sit with other people. Because you know what? If you think about this, God is the only person who knows you completely. There's no one else who knows you like the way God knows you. God knows all your failures. He knows all your weaknesses. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you've done. He knows everything. So when I get with God, it's a very personal thing. Because He sees me. I'm an open book. He knows exactly my weaknesses. And He sees me. And I know it. And that's a very personal and sweet thing for me. And if I have other people distracting me, I can't get to that place. I just lock God out, you know. And I think it's so important to find a place where you're alone with God. You say, God, I'm an open book. You know all my failures. You know all my sin. And still you love me. And that's an amazing starting point for that. Anxiety about relationships, health, economic security, loneliness, stress, confusion, meaningless of life, hopelessness. All of that are addressed by theology. And it's when we know those things and when we understand the things that God's give us, it will address all the things that we face in life. And sadly, coping becomes the new normal. You know, let's just cope. But actually, God has got a better plan. He's got a better way. He wants us to thrive and be fruitful. The next thing is increase purity of heart. So I'm almost done. Don't fall asleep. Increase purity of heart. To make progress, we need an ever-increasing purity of heart. Listen to this. The God of theology is a holy and righteous God. We need hearts that's constantly undergoing purification. And that's coming back to the holiness of God. So if we don't understand the holiness of God, we won't understand the need to be holy. Because we have to be like Him. We are always changing to be like Jesus. If we don't understand that, why be holy, you know? So it's so important to understand all the different topics. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." To live our Christian life, we have to see, and this is one of the quotes out of my books, to live our Christian life, we have to see, and there's no seeing with an unpure heart. So you can call out to God, you want to see clearly what's coming up. There's going to be no seeing. It's going to be cloudy. It's going to be like you're in a cloud. So a pure heart, increase purity of heart. And then the last one, theology must be done in a spirit of growing love. Like we said this morning, Jesus, I love you. And when we think, and even with Anna did communion this morning, when we think of what Jesus has done for us, there's a growing affection and a growing love. Every time when I hear that, there's a thankfulness. Wow, thank you, Jesus. So if you can just imagine Jesus on the cross, I mean, that is where you were supposed to be. You were the one supposed to hang there, being beaten, flogged, nailed through your hands. That's your spot, actually. And Jesus was so loving and kind that He said, you don't have to do that. I'll get on the cross for you. And daily, when you think about that, start your day there. Wow, Jesus, this is amazing. This is amazing. Thank you so much. Matthew 22, verse 37 says this. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We praise and thank God for loving and saving us. And I think that's probably the most important starting point, is remember what Jesus has done for us and be thankful, because we were the ones who were supposed to hang on that cross. And when we think of that, it creates in us, it stirs the love in our hearts for God. It's like, wow, God, if you look at my life and you said you'll take that place, sure, you're amazing. I love you. Thank you for that. And finally, all theology glorifies God. I think we can never get to a point where we study and we know a lot. We've got a lot of knowledge and we're puffed up. We are proud about, you know, all the stuff that we know, and we glorify ourselves. But all glory goes to God. And all of study of theology, all the topics, at the end of the day, is to glorify God. Amen. So that's what I've got this morning. I thought I want to stir things a little bit, just to encourage everyone to grab hold of this, not to settle for your 5 minutes with your Bible, not to settle for coming to church, prayer meeting, home groups. We expect that of Indiana as a minimum, you know? So that's the minimum. That's the first little setting on the bar that we have to jump over. But I think we've believed the lie that that bar is here. It's a high bar. You know, when I do those things, it's amazing. No, it's not. You know, it's not. It's the absolute minimum. And God didn't call us just to come and be average. God didn't call us just to know a little bit or jump over the first hurdle and that's it. No, God wants us to go deeper. God wants us to get to know Him more and more and more. Understanding truth. When life and challenges come, we know what is true and we believe that.